This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Good morning, church. Let us all bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Awesome God, our Father, you rule and reign over the heavens and the earth. You created all things, Lord. We bless your holy name this morning. Ah, Lord, we look at the glorious day that you've made. Thank you for giving us that this day. We will rejoice, and yes, we are glad in it. We come boldly before your throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, 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 we need you now more than ever. Please give us for our sins, O God, as we forgive others who have sinned against us. Give us a clean heart so that we can become the servants you've called us to be. Now, Lord, this past week was real challenging, but because of who you are, we made it through. As we go through these challenging times, I pray that our faith in you continues to grow, our trust in you remains steadfast, and our hope remains alive in you. We know that no matter where we are, no matter our circumstances, you are right there with us. And we thank you, Lord. Even in the midst of chaos, you lead us beside your still waters, bringing us much peace and rest. You have led us to the Zoom room this morning, Lord. Let your still waters flow this morning, Lord, through the Zoom room, by the Zoom room. Lead each and every person. Let them feel your still waters flowing. Allow us to even wade in the water, Lord. Let your still waters flow, the spirit of every person, every family on our prayer list, everyone who's still without water, electricity, all who are suffering from the ravages of COVID-19, other illnesses, mental, civil unrest, economic unrest. Lord, we need you now. Allow your still waters to flow through our Pastor Eleanor this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts through her, O God. Allow your anointed word to be that still water that flows through and out of her to all who are in hearing distance. Allow all your messengers this day to have the word that flows and that brings peace, and just gives us a sense of belonging, a sense of security, a sense of safety, Lord. We are living through this. These are changing times, but Lord, we are thankful. Even though these are changing times, you are an unchanging God, and we hold on to your unchanging hands. It's amazing how you provide, Lord. So we thank you this morning. We come joyful and we can shout hallelujah. Glory to God. We can shout, thank you, Jesus. We pass through these troubled times, but we know troubled times don't last always. Thank you, Lord. We continue steadfastly in prayer, calling on you because we know you answer prayer. Thank you for hearing our call. Thank you for answering our calls. Thank you for keeping us this day and every day to come. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online, or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
From Mark, chapter 1, verse 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to
you. Awesome God, we know you as provider. God, we thank you for all the ways that you have cared for us, the ways that you keep us, including the divine plan you had for salvation, Lord God. That's the ultimate provision, and we thank you for that. God, bless this message as a tool to help us understand all that you have provided through Jesus Christ, all that you desire to provide during this Lenten season. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Welcome to the journey. The journey of gratitude for God's grace, the journey of exploration of our salvation, the journey toward the cross of Christ that saved each and every one of our lives. Welcome to the journey of Lent. If you are a traveler, then you know that travels can include both delight and a little discomfort. Because before we can lounge poolside or beachside or mountainside or fireside, can you tell that I'm ready for a vacation? Any kind of vacation. Before we can lounge and luxuriate anywhere, we're usually limited to a finite little travel space, maybe on an airplane, maybe even in our own cars. If you're a traveler, then you know that our travels include delight and discomfort. They include beauty and burden. Before you can check off any of those items on your itinerary, all the sights you want to see, You probably had to check a ton of items off your to-do list, things that had to be done at work or at home or even to prepare for the trip in order for you to be away. The projects that you work on ahead of time so your team won't be waiting on you while you poolside, beachside, mountainside, fireside. The plants that had to be watered and the refrigerator that probably should be cleaned out if you want a pleasant return to your own personal paradise. If you're a traveler, then you know that a trip can include delight and discomfort, beauty and burden. And you also know that some adventures begin with us being reminded of our mortality before takeoff. Even if you've never taken a flight before, you know from TV and from movies that before we take off, somebody will walk the aisles to make sure every single seatbelt has said click. Somebody will walk the aisles to ensure that anything dangerous is tucked away. And eventually someone will say, listen up, you could die today. So pay attention to what I'm about to say. That's essentially how I hear the flight attendants talking, y'all. And that's why I listen, but I don't listen because I'm thinking, lady, I'm on my way to the Bahamas. Ain't nobody thinking about dying. But the truth of the matter is, we were all on our way somewhere, not thinking about dying, when God sent Jesus to reroute us. In Isaiah 58, the Lord teaches us about fasting, beginning by saying, declare to my people their rebellion. They're on the way to somewhere I didn't tell them to go. Declare to my people their rebellion, to the descendants of Jacob their sin. Because the truth of the matter is, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is, we all were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. The truth is we were all on our way somewhere else when God sent Jesus. That's what we're preparing for in this season of Lent, the sending of Christ in order to reroute us. When God sent Jesus to be not only our flight attendant, but our pilot, and not only that, sent Jesus to be the very vessel himself who would carry us to our new destination. And this morning, I hear Jesus greeting us from the pilot's cockpit saying, welcome to the journey. I look forward to guiding you to a deeper understanding of my love and my sacrifice for you. Welcome. I look forward to guiding you to a deeper understanding of my expectations of you. This morning, I hear our pilot Jesus co-signing on the message of the flight attendants. You know how they'll say, oh, I hear Thailand and Trinidad, wherever it is you're going, is beautiful this time of year, as if like they didn't just come from there yesterday on the flight that they were on. So they hear it's beautiful this time of year. I can hear Jesus co-signing on that kind of message. But what Christ tells us, but our flight attendants usually don't, is this adventure is going to cost you. It's going to cost you to go where I'm trying to take you, and not money, but in the case of travel, it will cost you a little discomfort if you're stuck in the middle seat and not in one of those awesome first class cocoons. I'm putting on that on my bucket list. I'm a travel in one of those cocoons one day. So it could cost you a little discomfort. It could cost you a little risk as you trust that this machinery will not fail you mid-flight. It costs you a little faith as you allow the pilot to do what you cannot do. Already in these first few days of Lent, we've been challenged by discomfort. We've been forced to risk a little bit. We've been required to walk by faith and not by sight. I have had to trust the pilot to do what I could not. We'll come back to that. Welcome to the journey. We're almost ready for takeoff, y'all. Friends, if you are a traveler, then I'm sure you've noticed that just about the time you mustered your last little ounce of courage, if you were taking an international trip to handle like that 16-hour flight or 20-hour flight, just when you finished saying your prayers and you feeling all right, clicked your seatbelt, a voice comes from the clouds well, probably not the clouds, but a voice comes over the intercom. You hear a voice, right? Reminding you of all the ways you could die. In case of emergency, do this. In case of a water landing, do that. As if you're gonna remember what your little laminated waterproof picture book says to do in case of a water landing. Very often before our greatest adventures, we're reminded of our death. And so it is with this journey toward the cross, no greater adventure than new life in Christ. And so that's why Ash Wednesday reminds us that from dust we were created and to dust we shall return one day. Friends, I remember traveling to Africa with the annual conference and with my seminary. And on those great Methodist adventures, every trip, I was asked to identify my emergency contact. That's not such a big deal. We have to do that all the time. But I was also asked what I wanted to be done with my body in the event that something happened to me overseas. I wasn't used to that. I was also asked to say if my whole body was not intact, what I wanted done with the parts of my body remaining. I was asked to identify a funeral home and a mortician that would handle my remains if they returned to the United States. Very often, before our greatest adventures, we are reminded of our death. We're embarking on a great adventure this Lenten season, growing closer to Christ, getting a deeper understanding of what our salvation means, walking more upright in our discipleship. We're on a great adventure. And that's why the prophet and flight attendant Joel says to us in chapter 2, verse 12, "Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." Our adventure begins with repentance, y'all. Our flight attendant Joel says, "Return to the Lord with fasting and weeping and mourning." And he has some good news for the church. "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity," Joel says. "Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing." Imagine that. In other words, Joel says, "I hear Trinidad and Thailand are beautiful this time of year, but let me tell you what's really wonderful. I hear peace and joy that only God can give is beautiful this time of year. So return to God. I hear repentance is beautiful this time of year. Return to God," Joel says. "I hear rest and renewal is beautiful this time of year. And you can find that in the Lord your God." The truth of the matter is returning to God, being reconciled with God, being one with God, it is our destination and it is the entire itinerary. It's the whole trip. Welcome to the journey. Maybe your calling is to teach or preach. Maybe your calling is to create or engineer that which has not even been imagined. Maybe your calling is to heal or nurse or be a caregiver. No matter our calling, it's always all about you returning to God and you helping your neighbor return home to God. It's always about God so loving the world that he sent his son to be the pilot and vessel to save the whole world. The Bible tells us that just before Jesus set out on this divine flight from heaven to earth, that divine flight that would ultimately take us back from earth to heaven, just before he set out on that flight, he went to a 40-day training program. Mark 1, verse 13 summarizes it like this, telling us he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. I love the version Jacques read, the angels ministered to him. Matthew 4 and Luke 4 both tell the story in more detail. We know that Jesus was tempted three times by the enemy. And we're going to say in the areas of provision and power and pride. The Bible tells us that in terms of power, in terms of provision, the enemy offered Jesus some food. Because he was fully human. So he was totally hungry out there. So the enemy offered him some food. And Jesus's response was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In terms of power, the enemy said, man, Jesus, you can do anything. Just throw yourself off these temple and watch how the angels take care of you. Jesus replied, you know, the word also says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. In the area of pride, or which related to how we worship and who we worship, the enemy said, worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Worship the Lord your God. And Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Friends, we need to know that if we're going to be on the journey, there will be wilderness seasons. There will be tests. There will be temptations. The good news is that's not the whole story. The wilderness is only a little part of the story designed to help us be used for God's glory. If you're in the wilderness now, you can trust that you are coming out. And we're not just coming out, we're called out. That's who we are as the church, the Greek word ekklesia. That's who we are, the called out community of believers in the world. We're called out and we're coming out, but I won't pretend that making your way through wilderness is easy. When your belly is empty and you can smell Satan's bread baking, you might want a pinch. But the good news is our God is there in a pinch, always. Our God is not only there to provide, but is there as the provision itself. Our God is the very thing we need. I know you as provider, the song said. I know you as provider. Now, if you're like me, I know you can list and name the countless ways God has provided, the things God has provided this week alone. But I wonder how often we remember to thank God for providing God's self. For providing God's self. What are you talking about, Pastor? Another songwriter said it this way, give me you. Everything else can wait. It was real hard for me to pray or say something like that this week. Give me you. The electricity and the heat can wait. Give me you. Something hot to eat can wait. Give me you. Functional water can wait. Wilderness life is hard. Welcome to the journey. Welcome to the journey from I know you as provider to simply, Lord, give me you. Friends, this 40-day season of Lent is designed in the spirit of that 40-day period of testing Christ endured for our sake. So I imagine we can expect to be tested. I hear the Lord asking today, what will you endure for my sake? I endured all that for you. What will you endure for my sake? What will you sacrifice? Who will you serve? What temptation will you resist for my sake? Yes, that's good. Resist fried food. Don't go to the new Popeyes. But only if you're going to resist fighting your family, fighting your neighbor. Yes, sure, great. Give up chocolate. But only if you're going to give up gossip and negative talk. Welcome to the journey. I hear carrying your cross is beautiful this time of year. Friends, I remember during the Advent season, I heard other pastors say that Advent, the season of waiting, felt so different, so real, because we were waiting on so many things. It had an entirely different meaning, waiting on a vaccine, waiting on the numbers to decline, waiting for a return to normal, or at least to stabilize into our new normal, waiting on Jesus. And in many ways, this season of Lent already feels different and real to me, because we are living in a real live wilderness. A global pandemic impacted in ways only God can understand by global warming and weather changes. We're in the wilderness. And somehow, I don't know why I always imagine wilderness, the desert places, as hot and dry. But I forgot that deserts can be cold, y'all. Deserts can be cold, especially at night. I forgot that until I was laying in bed with my mama, trying to stay warm, sleeping in boots and gloves and a scarf and a hooded sweater. I forgot that desert places can be cold places until I was covering my mother with so many layers, six to be precise, that the shape of her body wasn't even discernible in the bed. I forgot how cold wilderness, desert can be. I wonder how wilderness is looking in your world today. What experiences is God using to help you know him as provider? What experiences is God using to help you sing, "Lord, give me you"? I wonder how the Texas snowpocalypse, as my brother calls it, or COVID, as my sister calls it, I wonder how these things gave you a little glimpse of wilderness. Was it darkness? Was it the disconnection, even? In the biblical sense, wilderness represents feeling far from God, and yet somehow still knowing, still trusting that God accompanies us every single step of the way. Was it lack of sustenance? Because just like Jesus was hungry in his wilderness season, many of us were too. Grocery store shelves empty, food pantry lines growing longer, and still the word is true. We cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I'm a living witness. When your hands are shaking so badly that you can barely spread your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that's when you know that it's not the bread that sustains you, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I wonder what nourishment the mouth of God placed in your mouth, in your heart this week. Friends, I wonder, did you feast when you heard God say, "I'm a keeper"? At some point, you had to hear him say, "I'm a provider." I wonder if that filled you up. I wonder how you feasted when you heard the Lord say, "I am a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness." I hope those promises fed your soul, and I pray they sustain you all through this Lenten season, this wilderness season. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Because the truth of the matter is, for some soul, it was dark last week, but not just last week. It's been dark all 2021, all of 2020. And for another soul, it's been dark as long as they can remember. I saw an interview this week, once the power came back, with an actor who was talking about going to therapy for the very first time. And he said he went because he had a childhood of seeing things that children should not see. And I know he's not the only child that saw or experienced things that make us mature before our time. I know he's not the only one. And the good news is there's healing for that, for the abuse, for the abandonment, for the despair, for the fear. There's always healing for that. But Lent is a special time that God calls us to focus on the healing of the world and each and every one of us in it. Because that is the whole reason that God sent his son, so that even in the midst of our wilderness, we are welcome to this journey of healing, if that's what our souls need. For others, this wilderness time may be a time for rest and renewal, a time to allow the angels to take care of us, to minister to us, as Mark says they did for Jesus. What else did this week's weather reveal about wilderness? For me, it showed me that sometimes life gets dark. I remember on Monday night, before any of my family was in a place with stable power, when the sun started to really set and the darkness began to overtake the homes, my brother sent his last text for the night and said, "It's getting dark. Might as well go to sleep." It was only about 7 o'clock or so. And I remember that because I was trying to force myself to stay up until 8 o'clock with the hope that then I could sleep through the whole night in a house that was 30 degrees when it was 14 degrees outside. It's getting dark. Might as well go to sleep. He was so right. And I wonder what it would look like for us to just learn to rest on a regular basis. Because the truth of the matter is, there's some darkness that our light cannot handle. There's some darkness that we cannot overcome in the world. And I know that I say practically every week, let your light shine. And I know we spent almost every day of January quoting Dr. King saying only light can drive out darkness. But the truth is, there are some things we just can't do. And that's the whole reason Christ came into the world, to do what we never could, to save ourselves, to provide for ourselves. There are some things we cannot do. And that's what we explore during this season of Lent, the places and spaces where we need God to show up the most. There are some times when in the face of darkness, all we need to do is hear and heed the voice of Jesus. "Come unto me and rest, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I can hear the Lord saying, "It's dark, but I'm still sitting high and looking low, so you might as well go to sleep." I can hear the Lord saying, "It's dark, but I've still got the whole world in my hands. I'm still the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. So you might as well get some rest." There are some things that can only be handled when the sun rises. And sure, I'm talking about the S-U-N, but I'm also talking about the S-O-N. There are some things that can only be made right when the sun rises. And that's why Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me." And sometimes our call as disciples is simply to be drawn to him. That's what the season of Lent is for, to call us closer. "Come unto me, all you who need some rest." Friends, I hope you find a way to rest in this wilderness season. However that looks for you, I pray you take some naps and read good books. I pray you rest by playing some spades and some solitaire like we did this week. I pray you rest by praying and humming your praise in the moments when you can't access your iTunes or Spotify. I don't know how you'll spend these 40 days of Lent, but I do know there will be more wilderness moments. And I know that the angels will be attending us, ministering to us, waiting on us every single day. I don't know how you will spend the 40 days of Lent. I do know that trials and tests will come. I do know that there will be days that you hunger this season. And I also know God will be there providing and will be the very provision that we need. So return to God even now. Let's return in our worship. Let's return with fasting. Let's return in prayer. Welcome to the journey. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.